Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Well, it's true. Together, we are making a difference during this time that we're all walking through. And I just keep going back to the scripture that I shared just a few days ago in the email that I sent out to the church, and that I am thanking God for you. This is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm thanking God for you because I'm just seeing that your faith is flourishing and your love for God, your love for one another is growing. And I believe God is pleased by that. And so let's continue to make a difference and let's continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord during this time. In today's message, I want to begin and end with the same question. And it's this: what is God saying to you? We know what everybody else is saying, right? As we're listening in to press conferences and checking the news, we hear what federal and state authorities are saying. We hear what the media is saying. We hear what other countries are saying, doctors, scientists, even our relatives. We know what everybody else is saying. And we know what we're saying. We know what we're thinking because most of the people I talk with have an opinion, as I do, about what's going on, about how long this might last, when we might be able to get back together doing some of the things that we love to do. We know what others are saying. We know what we are saying. But my question for you today is, what is God saying? Several days ago, and maybe it was even a couple weeks ago, I said that challenging times are perfect times to pray. Well, let me add today, challenging times are perfect times to listen. Now, listening, as most of us know, is easier said than done. I mean, just imagine you're watching a game and there are only 2 minutes left in the game, and okay, I think I just lost some of you right there. Let me explain. A long time ago, there was this thing called live sports, okay, where there would be two teams, and they would compete against each other, and we would be on our couches cheering for one of the teams as if we are on the team, but we never were really on the team. It was just on TV. So anyway, that's live sports. In case you forgot, I know that's something that took place a long, long time ago. So for those of us that are new here, I just wanted you to be up to date on what was happening a long time ago. So imagine you're watching a game, 2 minutes to go, the ref makes a bad call, you're coming unglued off of your couch, and then someone in your family starts to talk to you. You know, you have no idea what they're saying, no clue what they're saying. You are just completely focused in on the game. Sometimes it's hard to listen, and for any of you who are getting ready to elbow maybe your spouse or a family member who is that person, that super fan that won't listen to anything during the game, just imagine you're maybe scrolling through your Facebook or scrolling through your social media, and your spouse comes up to you, maybe your husband comes up to you and just begins to tell you how much he loves you and how he would just love to give you a shoulder massage, and did you notice the flowers on the table that he just bought for you? You have no idea. You have no idea because you're like, what? They had that for dinner? I had no idea you could make that. We get it. We are good eaters, we're good neighbors, we're good encouragers, but sometimes maybe we're not good listeners. But I submit to you that these challenging times that we are in right now are perfect times for us to listen to what God is saying. And I know that this pandemic of 2020 is crazy, has been crazy, but I want you to know we're going to get through it. But I truly believe that if we lean in and listen to what God is saying during this time, we're going to come out of this exponentially stronger as a church. We're going to come out of this exponentially stronger as families, as marriages, and as people. And the Bible actually begins and ends and is filled with what God has said for the times past, for the times we're walking in now, and for times that we will face in the future. I mean, it begins Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, and what you're going to notice here is that when God speaks, as we read through scriptures, when God speaks, things happen. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And it was so. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees. And it was so. Are you catching the theme here? And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. When God spoke, things happened. Years ago, it was reported that the Hubble Space Telescope had viewed an estimated 200 billion galaxies in our universe. Now, NASA is saying that that estimate might be 10 times too low. I mean, when God spoke, things happened. And since God spoke, we are still, years and years later, discovering what all happened when God spoke. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, and let the land produce creatures according to their kinds. And it was so. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. When God spoke, it happened. Right then and there, at his word, things appeared, things took place. Everything had to surrender to what he said. And for all of you out there who are parents, you probably know exactly how this feels, because when you tell your kids to do something, they just do it right then, right there, no argument, no hesitation. At least most of the time, right? Psalm chapter 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. God spoke with power, with purpose, and everything that he said took place. And it was so. Until one time when it wasn't so. In the very next chapter, after the chapter of creation is recorded in chapter 1 of Genesis, in the very next chapter, God speaks. God gives a command to the man that he had created, Adam, and said, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God gave a very clear command. God spoke, and you would think that's going to happen. But yet in the very next chapter, chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve eating buffet style off the very tree that God had just told them, do not eat from. Well, that resulted in sin, because it was man not listening to what God had said. And that didn't just happen in the garden. Countless times after that, man, woman, teenager, people failed to listen to what God had said. And that ushered in not just sin, but because of sin, then brokenness and hurt and even pandemics ushered into this world. But even though very early in human history, man failed to listen to what God was saying, God chose to keep speaking. And I love this about God, that God hasn't stopped pursuing us, even in our flaws, even in our frailty. God continues to pursue us. God continues to speak into our lives. God continues to want to have relationship with us and speak into us exactly what he wants us to know in that moment. I love that about God. And we see that reality, the reality of God wanting to speak to us throughout Scripture. There were times when God would speak to entire nations in order to get their attention. One example is found in the book of Joel, chapter 1 in the Old Testament, where God speaks to a nation who had been experiencing a catastrophic plague, and they were broken, they were hurting, they were distraught, and God speaks to them and says this, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, and call out to the Lord. He was calling them to repentance. He was calling them to turn to him during this catastrophic plague so that he could help them. There were times when God would speak to specific churches. I love reading in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. I encourage you to check that out even this week, where God spoke to specific pastors and specific churches that were operating in the first century in order to give them hope and in order to give them challenge. And you'll read about how they were facing resistance. They were facing attack from the enemy. They were facing economic and physical challenges. And yet God saw them right where they were at, and with compassion and with complete insight, spoke right into where they were at and gave them hope and gave them ways in which they could live and live through this time in a way to honor the Lord. There were so many times in Scripture where God would speak to individual people, not just a nation and not just a church, a group of people following him. I'm talking about individual people. I mean, God spoke to Abraham and spoke a promise. To Moses, God spoke a calling for his life. Think about Job. Job had endured intense suffering, and to Job, God spoke perspective and hope. You remember reading about Elijah, whom the Bible says was a man just like us. And what we read is that God spoke to him, and it actually happened right in the most discouraging and depressing moment of his life. 1 Kings chapter 19 records this. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. One translation calls this a gentle blowing. The King James Version says a still small voice. Another translation says a gentle whisper, a low whisper. You might wonder, well, why would God speak in a whisper? I mean, whispers are hard to hear, and often whispers can be misunderstood. If you've ever played the telephone game, you know that whispers can be hard to really discern if you're getting it exactly right. So why would God speak in a whisper? Well, with a whisper, you know, you have to get really, really, really close in order to hear. You actually have to lean in. And that's why the Lord, I believe, often speaks in that still small voice, in the whisper of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives, in the different scenarios that we walk through in life, is because he wants us to lean in as close as is possible to him, and he wants to lean in as close as he can to us. It's talking about relationship. You see, when you know someone really, really, really well, if they want to whisper in your ear, it's not awkward. For pretty much everybody else, that's awkward, right? It's not even a 6-foot thing. That's like they're right there at your ear. God wants to lean in close, close, close. And what we see in Scripture, what we see in life, and I bet many of you have experienced this, where God leans in, we're leaning in, listening to what he's saying, and we are discovering that he's speaking hope, that he's speaking promises, that he's speaking instruction, and times when he's even speaking clarity, and times when he speaks even an alert, alerting us to danger, alerting us to a pitfall or something that we need to avoid. This was years ago, and I haven't really thought about it in a while until this morning when I was praying for this service and praying for this message and just thinking about the ways in which God speaks to us. And I remembered that I was going to get up early one morning in order to go run a 5K. And I was excited. At that time, I probably could run it without walking, okay? It was a very exciting time in my life. And so I had my stuff out the night before. I had my little backpack. I got my granola bar, my watch, and maybe earbuds or whatever I had. I don't know. And I was ready to go. I get up early the morning because I needed to drive out of town to another city for the 5K that I had signed up for. I wake up, and the first thought that comes to mind is that I shouldn't go to that 5K. And I'm like, what? That's, no. And so I get up, take a shower, get all ready, get my running shoes on, and I am excited, I'm ready to go. I have my backpack, and this thought will not leave me that I should not go to this 5K. I'm like, what? And so I pushed through because I paid like $25 to register for this thing, and I had a t-shirt waiting for me at that registration table. I'm in. And so I get all my stuff. I literally go out to my car, sit in my car, getting ready to start it, and that thought will not leave me. you should not go. And finally, I decided, okay, I'm going to listen to it. As much as I want to, I'm not going to go. Just recognizing that I think this is a God thing. And I wish I could tell you, you know, the rest of the story, like there was a tsunami that happened and I happened to not be in it because I didn't go. I don't have any story like that. I have no idea why the Lord was telling me on that day, don't go. I have no idea why. But what I do know is that it was so clear I had to come to a place where I was ready to surrender my will to the whisper. And I could have gone through it. I could have used this thing called free will that Adam and Eve had and that everyone since has had that God has given to us. I could have used it. I could have pushed past. I don't know what would have happened. I have no idea. All I know is that I had to come to a place of humility and say, I'm going to let my will surrender to the whisper of the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants to speak to us. Why? Because He loves us. He cares about us. As we read in the New Testament about the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we read often Jesus saying this, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why? Because Jesus was saying, you need to have spiritual ears. I mean, we all have ears. You can't see them right now, but check, you have two ears. Jesus is saying, no, I'm not talking about the physical ears. I'm talking about spiritual ears of listening in, of tuning in to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Pay attention to how you hear. Pay attention to what God is saying. And during this very unique time that we are all walking through and trying to navigate through, I just wonder, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to your family? What are the things that God is trying to teach you? You know that trials are times when God enables us to learn important lessons. Is there something that God is trying to redirect in your life? Maybe to reprioritize or to shift your focus. Just several days ago, I was in a moment where I was frustrated with some of the decisions that are being made that affect all of this, and the Lord just began to redirect my frustration into prayer. You know, instead of having personal frustration, I needed to have passionate prayer for those in leadership. The Holy Spirit just has a way of whispering in that redirect, that course correction, if we're listening. Times when we would be led by the Lord to reassess our life, to reassess some things that were once important and should they be moving forward. See, God loves us so much that He wants to speak to us. He loves your marriage more than you love your marriage. He loves your family more than you love your family. He has a plan for your future that's so clear and vivid in His heart, way more than it's clear and vivid in ours. He knows, He cares, and He loves, and therefore He speaks. I want to tell you today that God wants to speak to you during this time. He wants to show you some things and reveal some things to you. And here's what I can tell you. Not only does God want to speak to you, but if God is speaking to you, and when God speaks to you, you can bank on it being true. You can bank on it being true, which means it can be trusted. We read in the New Testament that all Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching and for correcting and for rebuking and for training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, He loves us so much that He has blessed us with His Word that's living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, so that God can look in and He can judge the thoughts and attitudes of our heart that it might be refined and to be what He wants it to be. See, when God speaks, it's truth. It's truth. Jesus said that when I go, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who would teach you all things and remind you of everything that Jesus had said. Went on to say that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Don't you love that? That God has sent the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, into our life as we place our faith in Him, that then enables us to see what the truth is and to be guided into making the right decisions and have the right focus and the right priorities. It's the Spirit of truth. And this Holy Spirit of truth has a way of digging deep beyond the surface. I mean, you know that an iceberg is 90% underwater. You see the 10%? Oh, that's big. Well, actually, that is only 10% of that iceberg. There is so much that is underneath the surface that you can't even see. But yet the Holy Spirit can see that in our lives. Just Wednesday morning, a few days ago, I woke up in the morning, and I don't want to make it sound like every moment, every time that I wake up in the morning, I have these awesome God thoughts. I wish I did. I honestly wish it. Pray for me that I will. You probably do. Sometimes my thoughts are like, I wish my daughter didn't eat all the honeycombs. Okay, that's often what my thoughts are when I get up in the morning. But on Wednesday morning, I wake up, and there's this thought that is so clear that I knew it wasn't me. And it was actually a stark, vivid realization of an unhealthy attitude that I have at times. I mean, who wants to wake up to that thought? But when I woke up Wednesday morning, that was boom. That hit me like a ton of bricks. It was just this realization that I couldn't deny. Like, yes, yes. And I wouldn't even say it's a sinful attitude. It's just an unhealthy attitude that keeps me from being the godly husband and father and leader that I need to be. It's keeping me, holding me back, which then affected other people. And I thought about that. I'm like, oh, I don't want to admit it. And finally, I had to say, yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. I knew it was God showing me that. And so I began to pray right then and there, even before I got out of bed. God, why do I have that? Where is that coming from? What precipitates that? And the Lord was so gracious, because He is so gracious and good, to begin to reveal to me why. And the Lord helped me to see that the reason why this unhealthy attitude surfaces at times is because of two things. Number one, because sometimes I'm just selfish. That motivation is just self-centered. Other times that motivation is driven by this. Sometimes I care too much about what people might think. And the Holy Spirit just made that so real, so vivid. The great thing about that is I didn't even ask the Lord, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I pray that there will be enough honeycombs. And I pray also that You'll give me this awesome thought that's going to basically wreck my morning because I have to repent of it. I didn't pray that, but God is so good and gracious that He speaks to us if we're listening. See, when God speaks, you can bank on it. It's true. He digs below the surface. I want to encourage you, as you go through this week, you might face some moments of anxiety. You might face moments of discouragement, maybe even anger. And I want you to know that this is not uncommon in a time like this. So don't beat yourself up over it. But think about doing this. Get up, take a shower, brush your teeth. Well, I don't know, it seems like a good thing to do. Go outside, get some fresh air, take a walk maybe, and just ask the Lord, Lord, why? Not just, oh, I probably shouldn't have that feeling or that thought. No, Lord, why am I feeling that way? Why am I thinking that way? And I believe the Lord is going to dig below the surface, and He's going to reveal some things to you that are true, that can help you know, okay, I need to submit these to You, Lord. See, God loves you that much to tell you what is true. And He also tells us what is timely. You know, He tells us what we need to know, when we need to know it, if we are tuning in and if we are listening. Isaiah chapter 55 has this powerful passage. It is a word from God. And here's what the Lord says. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is My word that goes out from My mouth. It will not return to Me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You see, God's speaking to us is always timely. Just as that water comes at that perfect time to cause that plant to grow. And just as that plant grows and then is able to yield a harvest so that people can eat from it, in the same way, God's word comes into our life in a timely fashion so that he can accomplish what needs to accomplish so that then we can accomplish what he's called us to accomplish. And God says, when I send my word into your life, it's not going to come back empty or be void of impact. No, it's going to do the work if we're listening. I encourage you, tune in, listen to what God says. It's true. It's timely. And it's also to be treated as a treasure. You see, back in the first century, the time when Jesus walked and taught on this earth before dying on the cross and rising on the third day and ascending to heaven, the scriptures were enjoyed and treasured by the people. They were not like a to-do list. They were actually such a huge part of their life. In some ways, for some of them, it was their life. I've read that at age 6, a child would start school. And the rabbi, their teacher, would come in on the very first day of class and would take their slate, where they'd be taking notes and learning and all this, take their slate and cover it with honey. And then on the very first day of class, as their hands are sticky and gooey, and you might think, oh, that's so gross, that'd be so messy, understand, honey was a symbol of God's favor to these people. It was a delicacy. The only thing I can think to relate it to nowadays would be like a Reese's peanut butter egg, okay? That's about all I got. But this was a delicacy, a symbol of God's favor. It was the most pleasurable thing to eat. And for a kid, this was candy. This was the best. And then the rabbi would say this, "My child, lick the honey. And may you never forget that the word of God is like honey." You see, this teaching of the rabbi, this lesson that the child would never forget, was centered on Psalm chapter 119, which says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." See, the people of old believed that the scriptures were the expression of a loving God. The God who loves us so much that he would give us his words. And that he would whisper into our life how to live, how to understand, how to view the times that we're living in, how to be a godly man, godly woman, a godly young man, a godly young woman, how to be a godly child. That this God loves us so much that he would give. That he would give us his words, and ultimately that he would give us his son, that he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We read scripture of this God who loves, this God who gives us his word, who gives us the whisper of the Holy Spirit if we're listening. What is God saying to you? As we walk through this very, very unique time as a people, what is God whispering into your heart? What is he teaching you? What is he showing you? Have you taken time to reflect on that? Like, Lord, what is it that you are wanting me to get? What is it that you don't want me to miss during this time? What a shame if we walk through all of this and look back and haven't learned anything, haven't been shown anything, haven't grown any. I believe God wants us to listen, to lean in as we go through this week. God, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to my marriage? What are you speaking to my family? And I believe that there are many who have already been listening. You've already been listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You've already been consistently in the Word, and God is whispering into your heart. Let me just say, if this seems very, very new to you to listen in to what God is saying, let me say that you've probably already heard God speak to you. You've probably already heard God whisper into your heart. Maybe you didn't recognize it was God, but it was God alerting you, like, don't take that path. Don't do that. Do this. Understand this. Maybe God's birthed in you a calling and a dream. Like, well, where did that come from? See, God is speaking into our lives. He wants it to be a daily, a consistent relationship that we have with him, where he's leaning into us and we're leaning in to him. As I said a moment ago, there are probably a number of us who have been listening, and God is speaking some things into your life and into your future. And I want to encourage you, maybe the best time is after the end of this service in just a couple moments, or maybe it's later on in the day, where you could connect with someone, connect with family members or people that you're connecting with this message with, or maybe you FaceTime someone in a little bit, or maybe you get a Zoom call together with some friends and you connect and you have that question, like, what is God showing you? What is God teaching you during this time? What are some things that God wants you to get and not miss during this time that we're walking through? And I truly believe that as we come through this, we're going to be exponentially stronger if we lean in and listen to the words and to the lessons and to the revelations and to the callings and to the promises that God wants to speak into us. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these moments that we have together as a church, as people, as those who have been a part of this church for a long time, those who are just connecting with this service maybe this week or connecting with this church in the last couple weeks. God, I believe that you are loving each and every one of them and you are working in their life. We know that a lot of things are on hold, but the gospel's not on hold, the kingdom of God's not on hold, and we know that the work of God in our lives is not on hold. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless each and every person as we walk through these next couple days with the beautiful, powerful, gracious, still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will enable each and everyone as they read in the Word over these next few days to get what it is that you are giving to them. We know that it's true. We know that it's timely and treated as a treasure. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and I pray that now you will bless us with spiritual ears. May each and every person hear what the Spirit is saying as we go through these next few days. May your protection, may your peace, may your strength, may your love be on each and every one. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.